Item number four now. So number one, give to that human hands. Number two, the spiritual, not physical buildings. Number three, only one requirement. What are requirements? Christ. You have Christ, you have it. Number four, its primary focus is the presence of God and fellowship with God, not the presence of God. Its primary focus is the presence of God, fellowship with God, not gifts, not presence. So, when we talk of the temple of David rebuilt, your prayer is not necessarily about petition. Your prayer is about relationship building. It's about seeking to know God. Do you understand? You spend time with God. You're spending time with God. To the world, it seems like you're wasting your time. To the world, it seems like you're doing absolutely nothing. But relax. The time is going to come. When they look at your spiritual muscles, they can't come near you. I know many people that I got born again with. We started this walk together. Some of the things that God passed me through 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they are just going through it now. And they are still struggling to say, no, we don't want it. Because they refuse to be disciplined to go through it. In Exodus, in what we read, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, 3 to 12, I noted that Solomon got the presence. And that God was not present. The God symbolized the presence of God was not there. That he could ask and receive. You can ask and receive, and still put it here. The Syrophoenician woman asked for healing for her daughter, and for deliverance for her daughter. She even expressed great faith that made the Lord to commend her, and she received something from the daughter. But she walked away from there, a sinner, still a Gentile. You can go to church and receive whatever you want to receive. It does not guarantee salvation. You can go to church and not have anything but receive salvation. You have what matters the most. Lord just said, what shall he profit a man? If he gave the whole world and yet he lost his soul. Please, he has a question. Say, to what have you, what value do you have on the soul? What do you equate the soul with? You can be Secretary General of the United Nations, the President of the United States of America, the head of the church, the head of all Muslims in the world. You can get all those things put together. If you are not saved, it doesn't mean anything. That's why in Exodus 33, 1 to 14, Exodus 33, 1 to 14, when God said to Moses, the people you brought from Egypt, fire, and send an angel to you, take them, the land is there, go. And so, in general, if they had gone, when God sent them, they would have entered that land, there would be no quarrel. God would make sure that they enter. They will not fight any fight. He will just give it to them. They will die. Remember when they asked for food? The Bible says God gave them meat. Then while it was still in their mouth, in Psalms says that he gave them what they required, but he sent leanness into their souls. The tabernacle of David revealed is about the presence of God, fellowship with God, not about the presence of God. Too much energy is being spent in church seeking presence. And all that you know when you see a child, all the child is looking for is, what did you buy from me? That was what? You come out from home, uncle, mommy, daddy, what did you bring for me? All the papa, the little papa is that they are trying to open your heart to move forward. If you didn't buy sweet anything, because they didn't even bring anything. They are babies. My wife had a dream many years ago. She shared it with me. Depicting the church. She had entered the church. At the entrance, the place was so tight, you could barely enter. Says that you could barely enter. And they spoke, my kingdom, my biscuit. That's what was happening. But she got my brother, she asked for she, please manage to come out. And she was, the more she was entering further into the church, the noise was dropping. And then she got to a place where nobody was present. She turned back and the noise was still there. And then she looked forward and saw that there was a path. It was a hilly place, it was winding and slippery. people, a few, one or two people after the result become will not come out, they'll get that place. They'll stand.
They think, oh.
Make up their mind, they said, and they start working.
That the gap between, when you see them at first, they had a gap between them.
You didn't see two people walking together that far. Each one was walking on his own. He said, she got there. He was thinking, I will do this. Many of us have the beginning. We have not even entered the world with them. We are just starting from the seed and shed on.
There is a journey, brothers and sisters. There is a path.
For those who are serious, you will have to count the cost. You have to stand and say, can I pay the price? When you decide, let me tell you the secret. As soon as you step your leg onto that road, you suddenly saw that your shoe has spikes and grips. But until you take that road, it's not much. God is looking for people who are ready to take that step. The enablement is there. It's just waiting for this whole condition. You are committed. Sometimes we wonder, so why does God just allow these things to happen? Then He's God. He's God. I think He told Daniel, He said, look, in the last days, that you will see many people who are turning other people to Christ. They will be following. God is going to help them with small, very little help, because many people will have joined themselves to them by trickery. So God is going to allow many men of God to go through challenges, so that those who have joined themselves by trickery will say, I don't like this kind of thing, will follow. Then God will marry that man there until they are done. I want them to remove these jokers who are following you. Believe you me, brethren, the church that God is looking for, it's not this church of the kingdom. The church of God is small. That each one is a soldier. Each one listens to instruction. Each one does what God says. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. We read this last week. And I heard a loud voice from heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. Look at this over and over again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 18. That tells us that what's happening now? He said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship, what union, what communion, what do you have in common with evil, with Belial, with the temple of idols, and so on and so forth? He says, come out from among them, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we recognize that this is a matter of the presence of God, then let's cleanse ourselves from all this rubbish. And let us come and perfect holiness in the fear of God. Beloved, God desires habitation, not visitation. Many of us, we like to say, oh, we are going for a divine visitation. We are going to receive a visitation from God. No! God doesn't want, the people that God wants to visit are unbelievers. Believers, He wants to inhabit them. I will show you from the scriptures. Psalm 15. Verse 1. Lord, who may what? Abide in what? The tabernacle. Did you see? Lord, who may visit? Yeah? Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy? That verse is not looking for people who want to come and go. People who stay. Look at verse 2. He who walks righteously, or who walks uprightly, and walks righteously, righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with the tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt
and does not change. You vow to do something, you do it. But why? He who does not put out his money as usury.
Your brother is looking for money to pay house rent. You are borrowing him for interest.
He can borrow him, but then he returns the money back to you. But you will charge him interest.
That's usury.
So that kind of man cannot dwell
in the tabernacle of God.
Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved.
Verse 24, chapter 24 of Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4.
Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holiness? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, is who can stand there? Look at who can live there, who can stand there. So even the man who says he wants a visitation,
have you seen what you need to do?
You must have clean hands. You must have pure hearts. Don't lift your eyes to idols. If you qualify for this, what are you doing to go and stand there when you can live there?
In the US, they have this, they have some degrees. There's a diploma for, they have the course, they call it paralegal. You can apply to be a paralegal or you can be a lawyer. Law school will take you about 45 years to finish. Paralegal, you do about 2 years in a college, what is the technical? You do about 2 years in a college and you come out, you're paralegal. Now, the paralegals are the ones who investigate. The work they do, they do everything that they're allowed to do. They will prepare the case and everything, give it to another because they cannot do that. And the lawyer who spent 45 years studying for the last thing he called the holder of the paralegal and go to court and try the case. And everybody knows him, but they don't know the paralegal.
If your job is like that, should you not go and upgrade and go to law school? Isn't that a reasonable thing? If a visitation requires purity of heart and cleanliness of hand, I think you might as well go the whole hall and leave them. But some of us are just happy to have presence, even if presence does not go with us. The Lord said, no, God, if your presence will not go with us, don't take us there.
Some people have followed the Moses, they have gone with me. He said, I was his son.
Said, if God said he will take us, he will allow us to go. Hey, don't go now.
Like I said earlier, if God has been there, oh, yeah, take us, they will go.
They will not have fought.
God will give them the place. But he won't help them because their spiritual muscles will not be developed.
That because they said they wanted God to go with them, God has to develop their muscles.
Finally, number 5, we said, built without human hands, it is spiritual. One requirement for access, that is Christ. Its primary focus is what? The presence of God and fellowship with God. Now, its principal goal, number 5, its principal goal is an ongoing, vital, and personal relationship between the worshipper and God. Number 1, it's ongoing. Number 2, it's vital. Number 3, it's personal.
You cannot have a relationship with God based on your relationship with your pastor. You can't.
Secondary relationship does not work. Like one somebody said, God does not have grandchildren. He has sons. Everybody is a son. There's no grandchild. So they can't say, my father is the Lord. I follow my father in the Lord. You better go and make sure that you yourself be a father in the Lord. Because God has no grandchildren, he has sons. Everybody is a son. God does not expect you to have a relationship with a church, with a denomination, with a pastor, with a bishop. When I say relationship, I'm talking of this kind of relationship we're talking of.
It doesn't mean you can't have fellowship with your pastor. They can't have a relationship with your pastor. Do you understand? But the relationship with your pastor is not, you don't see your pastor as the principal. Your pastor is like a senior brother who has gone in ahead of you and is telling you this is the way. That John the Baptist pointed to Christ. When they came, he said, that man is baptizing. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. There's no problem.
And you see, when people come to a relationship between themselves and church, or pastor, prophet, evangelist, bishop, overseer,
It is always for a blessing.
Oh, I know, Pastor Sam. So some people, their phones have pastor. The pin of their phone has taken over all the desires of them. Pastor this. Then they had a few bishops. Then they had a few evangelists. And then they had a few Jews. Reverends are too small now. They're prophets. But you know them. I'm sure you will. Praise the name of the Lord.
And all because they want blessings.
Please, what does this remind you of? It should remind you of number four. What people were looking for, they were looking for presence rather than the presence. They want men because they want presence. That if you want presence, then you go to God. That is what the tabernacle of David was built for. Presence. Not for presence. And you know that when you have presence, you also have presence. So the question which we are going to end up with is, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of pastors, bishops, prophets, evangelists, overseers? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible tells us the purpose of the church. Or one of the purposes, one of the chief purposes of the church. Ephesians 3:10. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by whom? The church, unto whom? Principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What is the church meant to do? To show the wisdom of God to principalities and powers in heavenly places. These divine powers may be, some people say they're especially Lucifer's people, but also it includes angels. Because the angels look at us and say, why is God spending so much time with these people? And so the church, when the church is gathered, the church is coming to show the wisdom of God. What's the wisdom of God? We put in a building, we sleep together. Black, white, pink, yellow, whatever the color is. We bring men and women. We bring rich and poor. We bring Yoruba, we bring Igbo, we bring Hausa, we bring everybody into one group. And say, this is the church.
And they're not worried.
There's no racism. There's no ethnicity. There's no tribalism. There's no gender inequality. The church is one.
They say, wow.
The angels in heaven say, wow, you mean this is what God wants to do? But when they look outside the church, they see Yoruba fighting Igbos. They see Igbos fighting Hausa. Satan is bringing the nations against themselves. But once we are Christians, we don't fight against ourselves.
Yes, we love you with the law of the Lord.
We embrace ourselves. In 1996, I was returning from a mission trip to Haiti. In Paris, I had to stop over in Paris. As I came down, because I was reading my Bible, so I held my Bible and I was holding my luggage to wait for the bus, to catch the bus to the hotel. A young man, I think it was Cameroonian, he walked past. Then he came back. He said, is that a good book you're holding?
I said, yes.
He said, wow, it's rare to find anybody in Paris holding such a thing. Man of God, I need to show you your life. He gave me $50. He was excited to see a brother. How excited are we? That's why the church has grown. There's so much competition in the church. In our church, this is what happens. In our church, this is what happens. In our church, that is not the purpose of the church. What has happened here tonight is the purpose of the church. Where the clear light can come and fellowship with us. Where we can likewise go and fellowship with them. That is the purpose of the church. Nobody's afraid of, nobody's scared that, oh, they're going to come and take this away. No, what are we talking about? We're missing a wonderful thing that God desires. Your people who are Igbos are fighting my people who are Yoruba fighting your mother, Yoruba, and just as an example. And then we now come to church. And we're, what are you doing? Let the world kill themselves. In the church, we love one another. And those people killing themselves, if they will run into the church, whether they are born again or not, we give them love. Are you saying to me that if for any reason a Muslim wants into this church because some people want to kill him,
that we should throw him out?
Brother, stay there.
Remove your cap and your that some of you may set on a tie. You will get the Bavari that when they come and say, I like this, I'm born again. So, what should they begin to put? They're not going to ask you because you're ready.
What's wrong with us? Even in the same church, this man wants to have 10 cars so that he can show the other man that you don't have anything. I have more than you. What are we doing? That's not the intent of the church. So, principalities and powers are looking at the church and laughing. Is that the wisdom of God? Let me tell you, Pastor.
There's still the wisdom of God in that.
Because when they go to God, they look at the church. I don't know that church. Let me show you the church. Then they go to the church. They are not ready.
They don't have the money. They look at God. Can't you see God?
Then Satan goes and tries to poison the church. In the name of Jesus, get out of here.
I love that brother. He may have offended me, but it's forgiven. And I love him. My God.
When Satan sees such a thing, he begins to marvel at the manifold wisdom of God. He looks at somebody who needs to send him a gangster like Saul of Tarsus.
So the Saul, with a calm voice, is preaching the gospel. And they say, what can we do?
They will attack what? They attack him, attack him, attack him, attack him, attack him.
So he gives us the glory to God. And God became too obedient. But I have to stay with you, which is good for you. And to be the Lord, which is even good for you.
But because we need me to teach you, I will still stay until the time that God says that you go. They told Peter that it's time for you to die. Peter wrote that they
have been renewed by the Lord that my son, this tabernacle, I'm going to drop it. But whilst I still have breath in me, I must keep reminding you, even though you're walking in the present truth.
Those were men who knew what God had called them to do. What is the purpose of the church? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as we see the day approaching, we should be assembling ourselves together. No man is an island. If you stay alone, you will be in trouble. Many people commit suicide because they are lonely. The church, because the church is your family. The tabernacle of David revealed is about a family. It's not about getting things. It's about the family coming together, associating with God and with one another. You are going through a tough time, bro. Things are tight.
My brother, strong in the Lord. Because I got for me from 5 years ago. But I remain strong. Not only so, this is my own stand lasted about 4 or 5 years. But today, see what the Lord has done for me. See what the Lord will do, bro. Bro, I only have about 5,000 years. Can you share?
Take two. And we go, take the Lord, take the Lord, take the Lord, take the Lord.
That is the church.
So what do they have in the church today? They are such. That's why we talk about that prayer and pray night.
Father, I need $1 billion contract.
What for? Is it to further the work of the gospel?
No! It's for self.
It's a very correct thing. Let's do some giving. Giving the 5,000 naira. Let him
let him just go and eat and do something and manage himself. You need to be hearing him talk to us more.
Because they say in his heart that all that is in his heart, even when he's praying to God, he in his heart is already thinking of how he's going to pose for his pastor, who was saying some things to show the pastor that look, we did it. We prayed and by what God did. What is the church for?
1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15.
These things that I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you are looking for truth, it is in the church. The church is not there to massage your ego. The church is not there to tell you a lie. The church is there to tell you the truth. It sits on the pillar of truth. No falsehood in the church. It's not even permitted. That's what the church is there. But many people have failed to appreciate these things. Paul has to be writing to Timothy. Said, I'm writing these things to you. I'm going to come to you shortly, but I want you to know how people ought to conduct themselves in this house of truth. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They wanted to bring falsehood and deception into the pillar and ground of the truth. People will not have any friend of that rubbish. And kill them instantly. How are those people there in the church today? The number has been dropped. But when you are there, you know you are serious. You're not coming to cry with you. How many people have committed fornication and then you come to church? And they ever say you have done nothing. And you, with boldness, you will come and carry a microphone and say you are singing in the church. You do that in the tabernacle of Moses. And the Bible says, at two or three witnesses, what did they do to such a man? They stoned him to death. He said, how much he bear? Under this new dispensation, a man goes to the Lord. Many people don't know what is called the non-stopping of God. And the fact that you committed fornication and didn't drop dead in church does not mean that God will allow this. God is giving you his patience, waiting for the day that you will come and repent of that act so that you can forgive. What is the church about? Acts chapter 2, 42, 40 to 42. 40 to 42. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. This is the church. It's a place where we are taught the word of God. The doctrines of the apostles must be taught. That's what the apostle is, the word of Christ. The teaching that makes you a disciple. That's what you do in church. Church is not a place to bring some jokers who come to entertain and say they're cracking jokes in the church. No, that's not what the church is for. It's a place of fellowship. We sit down one on one, one to one, we share. We break bread. These days I hear that pastors are doing to do for themselves because of boasting. By the way, denominationalism is not scriptural. That's what we're having this kind of problem. Each church has its own government. Denominationalism puts everybody under one government. It is man built an empire. That's how the Catholic Church became so bogus. They don't know what they are doing anymore. Suddenly they believe that they are God. They are now sitting down to look at some things. Well, here's the Bible there. And men are following what they are saying as the doctrine. We now have churches that are building doctrines outside of the Bible. Because they are denomination, they are not doing. The church is a place of prayer. I wonder how many of us pray in church, which is public, let alone pray at home. You say, let us pray now. Pastor Mofi, I begin to look at your wristwatch. Oh, this pastor likes to preach long. That's the reason why I would like to come to this church. If most of now, if you look at this, 8 o'clock is not it. And I guess somebody, calling my father, pastor, wants to know. I'll just go and see if I'm going to give you a prayer. By the way, there's a toilet here. I don't know. That's what it was of that same Acts chapter 2. Now, all who believe were together and had all things what?
That's the church!
Nobody said, this is my own, this is my own. They're not here. Everything is selfish. You know who owns this? You know who? You know that in some churches, even the chairs, they know who it belongs to. You can't see it. For your donation, they write your name at the back of the chair. Nobody sees it. If you are not in church, the chair is empty. Even when the place is full, they don't get an extra chair. But the person is still there. Everybody owns everything. The rich brought their money, they put it at the Bible, they put it at the apostles' feet. And they share it equally amongst the people. So in the church, nobody had a need that was not met. Nobody had excess that everybody was begging. In the church today, some brothers, they like it. Everybody's coming to beg them. Bro, they like it. But their pastors are suffering.
You see, there's the pastor, how they are in there.
That's true. Where is the love of them,
Lord?
And then some pastors will counter that behavior. Now come and push here. If you don't give the man of God, you can't get that contract.
You guys should preach that message here. So that all of you will quickly come before the altar.
Because if I cross you today, I'm angry. You haven't done for the man of God what you want to be doing. Come to the front here and kneel down. Open your pocket.
It's called anger. By any definition, it's called anger. And then you two, stop his speech. Okay, let me address it. So that here, that's why you are afraid. You know that what you are doing is wrong. What the man who is doing is wrong. He is using spiritual braggadocio who beat you and you are running. If you don't have, if you have relationship with God, you say, look at him. The hunger won't kill him. In the one, one who is bad will take it immediately. Let's call that intimidation, brothers and sisters. Members stop intimidating your pastor. And pastors stop intimidating you. It is not wrong to bless your pastor. The Bible says those who labor in word, they should share in your carnal things. Kind of human beings are you? Your hands are attached to like this. They can't even crack open one finger, it's a problem. We need myers to break it in. And when we open it, there's something there. Acts chapter 2, 47, 46, and 47. So, continuing daily with one accord, the church is a place of unity. When we talk of unity, we're not saying that they're all speaking the same language. No. Unity of purpose, unity of mind, the mind of Christ, the purpose of God. But this is, everybody has his own mind, everybody has his own purpose. One apart in the temple, I'm breaking bread from house to house. Even the house fellowship is a church. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who was added to the church, please? God. But this is, we are using our hand to ask the church and bringing problems into the church. That is what the church is for. In Acts chapter 4, when they had a problem, the Bible says that Peter and John, that when they were let go, the Bible says, I'm being blessed from verse 21, I think. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they that asked for from them one. They let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. This was when they lifted that man who was at the gate of God to the people, right? They let them go. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one. See, just in the place where you can take your body, so I will all pray with one accord. And then try taking your body to a church. And you see that body on Facebook. It will become stolen. You will be wondering, ah, what's going on here?
That's why some people don't share testimonies with you. Share testimony of how God has blessed you. The whole church is coming to your house. Suddenly, God has given them revelation that you will meet their needs.
When you didn't have anything, nobody saw revelation that you can meet their needs. They don't share testimony that God has blessed you. You are the one that God has sent
That you know, it's God will not walk from heaven and earth.
He's a human being, God will use, and he has blessed.
When they come like that, you tell them, God has not spoken to me. Allow me to tell them. Then this is what the church is for. The Bible tells us that by the time they finish praying, look at verse 31. Read it by the way you get to read the whole thing. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was what? Shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the words of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Can you see the unity in the body? Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Is it any wonder that they could do such wonderful things?
They didn't have to obey him to preach. Now you see your pastor standing, the people don't care.
They say, like the man of God, they didn't care.
So, what of the man of God? What is the role of the pastor? What is the role of leaders in the church? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7.
And then we go to 11. Ephesians 4, 7, and then we go to 11.
But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of God's grace. To how many of us? Each one. Is it each pastor or each believer? To each believer. So you have the measure of Christ's gift in you, each believer. But because you don't know that that gift is in you or how to use it, you now need what? You need this pastor.
This is our job. Look at verse 11. Through to 14 or 16.
And he himself, that is Christ, gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry you are supposed to be serving in the church. For the edifying of the body of Christ. You are the ones who build up the body. It's not just the job of the pastor. The pastor is there to tell you this is the proper thing to do, how to build the body of Christ. You are the one that, look, if you take this over and introduce me as your pastor, all principles will be off.
But if you go as an ordinary person and you begin to speak the word of God, you have
killed several birds with one stone that I will be strong because they have to get over the mindset of pastor first. They believe that the pastor doesn't do anything for valuable. But you are the devil, an ordinary man like you, they're not afraid of you. If I want to say pastor, I want to behave himself. If I remember one shot, I went to America. The man is there that I was a pastor. The man ran away. To drag him and say, come and hear the word. No. He came to treat me with more respect. Is that what I was looking for? I wasn't looking for that. I wanted somebody who would talk to God and say, I cannot please the God that I do. But you can do that.
Verse 13.
We do this thing till we all, how many of us? Everyone of us, including me. This is how the church works. A pastor helps this man up. That man helps one below up. The pastor is not going to move. In fact, he cannot move until they are brought into his level. Then God gives him to the next level. Do you understand? Any pastor who knows more than his people and he has a gap, the people will kill him. Because you see him as an enemy. You can't know, you can't, you walk back.
I don't understand how you can, how there can be a wide gap between you and the people.
It is not supposed to be so. You're supposed to take them along. The Lord just said, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. The choice of our discipleship. That's the role of our leader. The prophet's role is to, like the throne of Issachar, what was it that the Bible says concerning them? That is the prophet. Not the one who says, hey, brother, my brother, yes, that brother, that preacher, son of, I see brothers upon him.
What he's telling you is, come and bless me.
That's a con artist.
Taking the word of God as though that's what it is.
No, that's not it. A prophet goes in the direction of the church, but that should be good. The direction of the church, actually, the direction of the church for that season, that's what the role of the prophet is. So when something happens, the prophet starts to say, God says the word. This is the direction to take. This move is over. This is the next move. That's what the prophet
lost in church. God is not in the church, come and stand, be pushing, you see pastor and prophet quarreling over words. Say, no, let me stand to talk. You don't need to be a movement as a prophet to prophesy. You don't write, they progress. It is the plan of God and give to the man of God. That's why he's the pastor. He's the one in charge of everything. And because we don't understand this thing, that's why pastors are going to do for this. How can a pastor be doing for what? He says it's a juicy. We are in the National Assembly. We are now in the same ground. It says, since we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we continue to learn and grow until we get to that level and stature of Christ. Some of us believe this world without attaining it. It should be perfected when we get there. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried around with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plots. The church must never allow one member to be so weak that he can be misled.
I've said this before. The strength of the church is as strong as the weakest member in that church. So it must be the goal of every pastor, every leader in the church, to make sure that the weakest member in the church is stronger than Satan. That he can wake up at night. One nanny is crying at night in his house. Calm down and enter the world. That is it.
I get up. I even accept your Christ as God has said it.
Okay. Fire from heaven begin to walk until she says yes.
It's not for you to pick up the phone and say, man of God, my mother, you need to come. You know what? Man is coming, he's sleeping, you know. Grand okay. At 2 a.m. she come. Because his house girl has sent over for me. You should leave your house and go with him. That's not the church. Church of God, that man should be able to deal with that. That's a small girl. Satan does not waste resources. He's not going to send a strong girl to a man who is shaking, who needs to call pastor. He will send one small girl there. Because the pastor himself, when Satan wants to come, Satan knows how to. He doesn't go there directly. He will go on a long journey to get to him. And every thought he lives, except that pastor is here. So we want everybody to be strong. No more babies. Tossed to and fro. You hear one message? He says to you keep it quiet from the church. You say, I'm telling you. The whole water they said they discovered in the water. Is it the real good? I come and see trucks driving, stinking, smelly water. People were jumping in. That their God must be something else. My God doesn't smell like that. And you start smelling water. People will be jumping in, they enter clean, they come out black. The man entered the leper, came out clean. Even from the dirty Jordan. They went in clean, they came out stinking and filthy. And they said that. And they were drinking the water. It is to guard against that. That's why you have pastors. That's why they are there. That's why you are supposed to take care of your pastors. God has been taking for the care of your pastor. It is what he should do. So that he will not be carrying suitcase and competing with you in contract job in the office. You sit down, study the word of God. When you come, you give good answer, you go and pray. Don't do the one that people have been, the people who have been prayer contracts. One lady was telling me, things have changed now. I said, what is it that has changed? He said, can you imagine? I wanted some brothers to come and pray for me. They asked me to give them 50,000 bucks for me. I didn't know what to say. I said, 50,000 for what? I said, ah, pastor, that's how they do it now. That they always do cheap. Some people take contracts. And they say that if they don't take the money up front, when the result of the prayer has manifested, you forget them. And you ask such a person, who is your pastor? They don't have pastors. They go to church and they don't have pastors.
Meanwhile, they have prayer warriors all over the place. Then they will bring a prayer warrior into their house. A single sister will look at every morning and tell the prayer warrior to be fasting and praying. Then in the morning she will leave her house for the man. She will be there for 10 days doing prayer and fasting for 10 days in a single lady's house. And when something happens, say, it's devil. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in God, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes both of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We all came in as disjointed. Then we came in, we put together, as we are growing, suddenly, this brother is supplying my own. Even the pastor did is being met by the brother. The brother said he's being met by the pastor. Pastor is meeting his spiritual needs, brother is meeting pastor's carnal needs. Do you understand? Brother is meeting other brother's carnal needs. They are able to meet the spiritual needs. As they say thank you to God, the whole body is working together, supplying bone, marrow, joints, and everything. It's not that we don't see what is happening inside the body. The liver is doing its job, the kidney is doing its job, the heart is doing its job, the lungs are doing its job. Your body is working efficiently, responding to the head, the body, the head of the body. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the body. Some of us are just a part of a liver. But you know that part of that liver, if we remove it from the liver, that liver can collapse. So each person is important. That's what we come to teach, as that's our role as pastors. What is the role of a pastor? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. This is the faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. He didn't say he desires a good office. He desires what? A good work, because the office of a bishop is work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Not a rabbler. Not given to wine. Not violent. Not greedy for money. But gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. One who rules his own house well. Having his children in submission with all reverence. Do you see the emphasis that God places on this man and his family? Look at verse 5. He says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Because the church of God is the family. You say, we can't take care of your own family. How do you take care of the family of God? That's the job of the pastor. Is that not a novice? Let being puffed up with pride, he falls into the same condemnation as the devil. That's what we have today. Novices. They have not spent one day in the church. Pyam! They started their own church, their pastors. Like, you look at the photograph of the man who says that, you know that this boy has not even finished his service. Remember, he's a boy. And he gives himself a typing time. And you're wondering, what are they doing? What's going on? Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. This is the man who is the pastor. His character must be without blemish. Blameless. His family standing. Does it mean they won't quarrel? They won't quarrel, but they must be able to resolve it. His children are under discipline. These days, the pastor's children are the worst children in society. They are the ones joining cults, doing all kinds of crazy things. The children are pastors. Because the pastor is not looking at his family, he's looking at the family of God. And he's not doing a good job either way. What is the goal of the pastor, of the church leader? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. The elders, that's another title for pastors. The church leaders. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Look at verse 3. Nor as being lord over those entrusted to you, but being what? Example to the flock. You want to be a pastor? You must be an example.
When the Bible says you are an example, the Bible is serious. Example means that no food. And you can't tell anybody that there is no food. You must go and do the work of God and stay there. Serve God and seek His face. Regardless of whether you have food or not. Just as an example.
Whatever the members are going through, I want you to understand what that pastor went through.
So the wise member will find out how the pastor survived.
When the pastor is speaking, he's not speaking from me, he's not speaking from the head.
I mean, it's true pastor.
It's an example.
Today, we have to talk about mentorship. It's not by you don't make yourself say, I'm a mentor.
No.
If you're a pastor, but people will follow you. There's one pastor who was on TV advertising for what was advertising? Advertising for disciples. He was advertising for that, and he had the church. In your church, you don't have enough people. I'm looking for 12 people. You didn't see 12 in your own church that you can decide. It's on TV that you're looking for 12. I don't know you from anywhere. I will now give you my name and say, I want to be your disciple. What is the basis? Do they have a relationship? What's the basis? It's like somebody on the mirror will see me and say, bro, I want to follow you from now on. What is not told that my daughter will say, I, son of man, I don't have a place to lay my head so that you can put you on the way. Give it accommodation that brought you to the
hey, school.
What happened? I told the pastor, I just like the way you teach. I like this. I want to be part of your ministry. I said, in our ministry, we don't give anyone one naira. But we don't have the money. You say, so yes, if you want to serve God, better come on your two legs, with your two hands, with your one mouth, and serve God. But if you are looking there, that's not God. If you are truly coming to serve God, God will provide for you. Then as you come to church, and every day you look at that man with care. And look. I promise you, you used to look at your praise the name of the Lord. A young man came from somewhere, I don't want to mention names now. Went to a pastor and said to him, man of God, I just like the way you preach. I've made up my mind that I'm going to serve under you. The pastor said to him, in this church, I'm paying the salary. He said, you the senior pastor said, I don't want to put my salary. So you walk to your church, say, man of God, I need to go and pray with you. Do you know why he came? He thought the pastor was the one taking all the money into his pocket. So he wanted to follow the pastor to share. He said, is that fellow will suffer somewhere else tomorrow as a ministry. Because he got spoiled one day in this country. When bishops started ordaining, I don't know what it was about ordaining bishops that they were proud of as ordaining bishops. What is the pride in it? That Indian hemp smokers have been ordained pastors and bishops today. Hemp smokers. Rapists have been ordained ministers today. Thieves have been ordained ministers. A pastor died some years ago. They went and celebrated that pastor's funeral. Celebration of life, everybody keeps celebrating. Even in Boni, people celebrate life. This is a celebration of life for this man. Some weeks after, there was an uproar in the man's family. When they went to investigate, they saw that the man had another wife. And the first wife, nobody knew me, but the second wife that insulted that man. The quarrel was not stopping. What was the issue? The issue was the man's estate. When they looked into the estate, a civil servant had 20 billion naira in his account. We're talking of 2003. The fellow was working in IMEC. 20 billion. The civil servant. He had taken bribe to lead the election and was a pastor. We don't even prophesy where he is. We only pray that he repented quickly before his last breath left. What is it all about? He died and then the two women were the ones fighting. That was what made people do to be bold to say that the church is part of the corruption at that time. Because when they looked at accounts of pastors, they couldn't believe it. The principal goal is an ongoing, vital, and personal relationship between you and God. John 15:1-7. When we close, by the grace of God, we're moving towards closing now. all the scriptures must be done.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what are we doing? He takes away.
By the way, there are two kinds of fruits. There's internal fruit and external fruits. Many people concentrate more on external fruit than internal fruit. Your external fruit can never remain if your internal fruit is not there. What do I mean by that? Your preaching doesn't mean anything to which souls if your character is not the nature of God. So you must work hard at internal fruit. External fruit is the stand, is a given once internal fruit is standing. God's interest is in that internal fruit. That's why the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. He says, we rejoice also in tribulation. Why? Because tribulation works for us for patience. And patience develops what? Character. That's the nature of God. So, you're not bearing that internal fruit. He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he proves that it may bear more fruit. Some of the things some of us are going through that we are crying is just pruning. Because you can be fruitful, God wants to make you more fruitful. You were patient to an extent. Then he brought something that is now going to wait longer. You don't need to cry. Just rejoice that God has found you worthy for a greater test. You grow stronger and stronger and stronger, more mature as a believer. That God can say, we have a problem in Ishoku. Rob, go there. Your office will just transfer you to Ishoku. You go to your pastor, man of God, you have a pastor in Ishoku. Pastor said, no, we have to pray. The Lord has shown me why he's sending me. Just pray for me, the Lord will go with him. We pray for the brother he goes. He goes to Ishoku, enters into Ishoku. It's not about whether he's a pastor or not. In that his room, he is praying some serious prayers. Ishoku will know that somebody entered into it. But Christians will enter a place, there is no movement anywhere. This event at all is deteriorating the more. How can we Christians be in a city like this and we have not changed the city? Where is prayer? Where is revival in the body? This is, I believe, in my own estimation, the most church city per square mile in the world. And yet, look at what this is. This ought to be the Dubai of Nigeria. But look at what it is. Because instead of the men of God to sit down and seek God's face for what God wants to do, they are sitting down about their pockets. I heard about how a nation when he was governor, the ambassadors of pastors, he entered into his waiting room and there were a row of pastors there with bands. And he was talking to somebody and said, for example, these are all men of God. These are men come and pray for me. They are there waiting for me to give them something. Look at me, is that what we have become? Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Have you ever seen a branch growing on its own? Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branch, you are not the vine. You are just a branch. Every one of us, they are branches meant to produce fruits. Nobody should arrogate to himself that he is mine. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. He said that in the exhortation. Verse 8. By this my Father is what? Glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my a disciple is a fruit bearer. The Lord Jesus is saying that, unless you abide, you stay attached to him, which is the tabernacle, this is the tabernacle of David rebuilt. Unless we are attached to him, we can do nothing. You might as well be going to the tabernacle of Moses at Gibeon. about everything except the presence of God. In conclusion, the tabernacle of David at Jerusalem gave us inclination to God's eternal plan for the millennium. But as is with the things of God, the reality always exceeds and excels every imagination of the moment. If God says to you, I am going to make you great, think about that greatness as much as you want. You can never imagine what God wants. If I exist, exceed and excel what you are thinking. Like the model of Moses' tabernacle or David's tabernacle. When we now see the tabernacle of David revealed, it far exceeds and excels even what David put in place. In David's time, there was a curtain, God tore away the curtain. The implements were still inside the ark, they were removed. They had to be pouring blood every month on top of the mercy seat. He entered with blood. And as he entered with blood, he took us in. Blood of access. With boldness. Far exceeds and excels. Maybe that's the problem, maybe that's the reason why many of us cannot appreciate what God is doing. Because it is beyond our comprehension that God can do that. And yet, you are the one that God wants to do. Maybe you should go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, from 24 to the end. He says, look amongst yourselves. See the kind of people that God has put together. Not many of you are wise according to the standards of this world. Not many of you are anything worthy of emulation at all. He said, because God has led to choose the weak things to confound the strong, the foolish things to confound the wise, the things that are not to confound the things that are. Yet, you want to be the things that are. God is saying, in whatever state you find yourself, stay there. And God. So, did you finish school search? That they are mixing English and native dialect together. So what? One day you speak English, therefore you know that only God can be doing this in good heaven. And when you come down from the pulpit and you have to say, what are you talking about? Because the anointing to speak that English has vanished. But no, we want to pose that there's something. Meanwhile, you know. God knows, Satan knows that you are not. Then you go there and think you're something until they disgrace you. And your buttocks is exposed. That is not. What can we do to ourselves? Is it not better to go as a nobody and confound those people who say they're somebody? Let me tell you something. Do you know that there are people who are hungry for what you have? They wish they had it. Meanwhile, you are wishing to have what they are trying to drop for what you have. I think something is wrong with us.
Yes.
I don't think we appreciate what we have.
Many of us don't know that it is God that is keeping us at the jobs that we have.
The day God says, sack him, that day your name will enter, you will be looking for the reason. It's God that said you should sack him. Did you not enter the throne up and your name was to be written? Remove that name. He has a purpose in this place. Remove the name.
They can't even explain why you are there. They themselves can't explain why you are there. They can't explain why they are promoting you.
Hence, brethren, the tabernacle of David reveals in the new life of the believer. With the Godhead desiring to indwell man and vice versa, and being in unity and agreement with the believer in the church. Give us John 17, 20 to 23. Let's read this together. One, two, go. Neither pray I for these people, this is Jesus' prayer, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, as you and I, that they all, do what? As thou, Father, art in me, and I, that they be one where? In us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Let's be good at this. Right now we know of the Trinity. Right? Because you know what God is looking for? A person, not three. God the Father, Jesus the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Church. Unity of purpose, unity in everything.
Whatever heaven is doing, the Church is doing on the earth. That is the role of the Church, brother. That's what we are called to do. That's why I said, you shall bind whatsoever here,
heaven will bind it.
Because it is what heaven says you should bind, that's what you will bind. You will lose, heaven will lose. That is the goal. The tabernacle of David be built is to achieve this. Where we are in such a relationship with God that when we come to church as a group, one person stands and says, God says the Lord. Another person stands and confirms, another person stands and confirms it, and even increases and adds and more says, this is what God is saying we should do. And with one mind, one purpose, nobody rebelling, we go together and do it. And God will be with us. The signs and wonders. That is the tabernacle of Jesus. The tabernacle of Moses had rebellion. The tabernacle of David was quiet because it was only David who was there. And God said, you see, this model of David is what I want to do. I want to build the tabernacle without the curtain, without all the implement that angered me, where men and myself can be one. Where whatever I purpose on in heaven is done on earth. Remember that prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray? Thy will be done as in
heaven.
That is the goal. But right now, look at what we are doing. We are all fighting the will of God. Small will, not all of the major will. If the church today were existing, Cyrus would never be king. We would have pushed Cyrus back so much that Cyrus would never be able to be king. But that was the Cyrus who was coming to free us. That's what we're doing. The church is involved in Muslim Christian. They want Islamic. Do you honestly think that anybody, government or whatever, can destroy Christianity? Do you think so? The stone without hands that anybody can destroy. Do you think so? Do you think Obama, with all their laws on gays and everything, can destroy Christianity? They can't. They can't. Look, one of the churches, Christianity thrived the most under persecution than under prosperity. The church failed in confinement under prosperity. But it thrived and became stronger under persecution. Why do we deserve it? So God claims to be a born again Christian. It's hardened. And he says, pardon is not a crime. How can somebody who comes back to this church can be Christian? Another fellow says, the prophet, the governor of the state, the priorship, says, the prophet. They found some money in his account. He lied. He said, if I gave it to him, then he said, there was another one. Somebody, they gave it. And are they Christians? Where did the love of money enter us so much? And the love of God was very much. I think it was Francis of Assisi who was going somewhere. With one of his bishops or something, I can't remember, but somebody was with him. Then they were building cathedrals all over Europe. And the bishop looked at one cathedral and said to Francis, he said, can you imagine? The church can no longer say, silver or gold have I not. Francis said, yes, neither can they say in the name of Jesus, Elijah and walk. We have all the big cathedrals that we don't have the power for them. We have all the things that we think we want. But we have leanness in our souls. He gave them meat that sent leanness into their souls. That's what's happening with God. And God is saying, as I'm doing this tabernacle, I'm careful who I'm putting in. Remember the temple of Solomon? They never took one stone inside of the temple. The stones were shaped in the quarry. Reverend, let me announce to you today, we are in the quarry. See all these challenges you are facing. And God chiseling you. Because there is a place in that tabernacle that you are going to fit in. He's knocking out anger, envy, bitterness, love for money, fornication. He's everything that is thrown at you. chiefly.
And if you look at that tabernacle that Solomon built, there were both Gentiles and Jews involved in the building. So both your believer brothers are involved in the chiefly, and the unbeliever are involved in the chiefly. The challenges of life they are facing both inside and outside the church, they are there. They are not going to crumble. They are there for you to say, Lord, do with me as you please. Because you want me to fit into this. Tabernacle of God. God is going to tabernacle with men. We will be the ones. And this is what Jesus promised.
I will make them villa
in my Father's house.
I will make them villa in the temple of my God. And you shall not go in and go out again. You will be there beholding God every day. Then he said, I would rather be a gatekeeper
in the house of God than be found in the congregation of sinners. It is your own difference. You see, the tabernacle of Moses, in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, Amos 3, 3, the Bible says,
can two walk together?
Yes, sir, they agreed.
God came down one day and saw men walking hard and building the tower of Babel to reach heaven.
But they see these people, the way they are united,
there is nothing they want to achieve that they cannot achieve.
Only God has gathered that kind of unity. But that's unity that God wants.
God wants a unity that you and He are in agreement. The church and Him are in so much of agreement. There is nothing that we cannot achieve. Satan cannot stop it. That's what the Lord is saying. But for so long, we have been busy at the entrance. I want the gift. Give me chicken. Give me this. That's all there is.
Yes, inside. There's a walk of the sanctuary.
Yes.
In verse 7 of the same Amos chapter, the two Amos 3:7 call for us. Verse 7, you will see something that God said there. Why we should be ignorant is what I cannot understand after reading this scripture.
Surely, what is that? When you read this word surely, what does it tell you?
That
without surely the Lord God will do what? Nothing. Can you imagine God saying, I'm not going to do anything? But he revealed the secret unto his servants, the prophets.
This is God's challenge to me. Who can I tell secrets? Who? You are taking the word, twisting it all over the place and doing all kinds of crazy things. Are these people going to tell secrets? Who? Is it the people who, when I tell my secrets to, what they are going to do is to pray against it? Not even intercession, but to pray, violent prayer against as if they can kill me. They will fast for 50 days so that I can change my mind on what I want to do. Those people are going to be good secrets. It does not occur to us that in the world we are living in today, we don't hear secrets from God anymore. When pastors don't talk of God speaking secrets, they will say, God told me that 10 lepers will be healed. Is that the secret? No, there are some things that God wants to say about that. There's something God wants to say about Nigeria. There's something God wants to say about whether He wants us together or He wants us divided. There's something that God wants to say that you will not need to go and meet anybody. We don't need to go to a sort of to meet anybody. On your knees in your room, the matter is settled. See, the people who are looking for how they can be, their names, their faces and names can be on the face of newspapers, are those people that God's going to bless you. You see people who are proud and arrogant that's going to tell secrets to. That was my answer.